You know, it's interesting that last night there was a lady that came up to Pastor Cam and I. Pastor, would you mind sharing that testimony with the lady shared with us? Yeah.
Some of you folks might remember Skye, who used to attend our church many years ago. And she didn't recognize me. I didn't recognize her. But as soon as she introduced herself, I knew who she was. And Skye just had a neat testimony. I believe that she had experienced the ministry when you were in Dauphin.
That's right.
About a month and a half ago. And she's part of a church there in Dauphin. And Brother Greg was through and just had prayed for some folks for healing. And she didn't receive something right away. What she was believing for healing for, she just had some tightness and cramping in her wrist that was and in her hand that was really preventing her from doing a whole lot with her hand. And there was some arthritic pain and just a real soreness in her neck that she was experiencing. But she just really believed, as you laid on hands on her, that she received her healing. And it was just amazing to her over the next 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. that pain just went. And so she came and told us her testimony yesterday. Now she's just been free of that ever since. The devil has tried to put that back on her a couple times, and she's just made the decision, I'm not going to let the devil do that. I'm not going to let the devil put that pain back in my hand and that pain back in my neck. And she just stood in God's word, and she said, even last night as she was driving here to the camp, she was just boldly declaring to the enemy that he was under her feet and that healing wasn't going to come back on her. And she thought, you know, the people seeing her driving by in the vehicle must have thought she was crazy, because she was just yelling and shouting, and they wouldn't have known what she was doing. But she was telling the enemy where to go, that he was under her feet, and just declaring to the world and anyone else within earshot that she was healed, healthy, and whole. And she's kept her healing, and she's going to continue to walk in it. So that's encouraging for someone that we know that's experienced healing in their lives. So,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God's doing good things, isn't he? Yeah. You know, a lot of times people will ask me, what's God doing in the church today? There was a pastor in one of the largest cities here in Canada. We got to have dinner together. And he was saying, you know, is the church backsliding? Is the church full of apathy? You know, He had kind of a negative view of what was going on in the church. And I said, no, that is not what is happening in the church here in Canada. I'll tell you what God's doing. He's pouring out his glory. He's pouring out of his power. And there are miracles that are happening, just like the book of Acts. And we are living in the most exciting times on the planet. Now, if you want to look at the news and get discouraged, and go ahead, be my guest. But I'm looking at what God's doing. And I'm telling you what, there are more miracles happening today than you can shake a stick at. Glory to God. And I believe that God's doing a lot of that right here. I mean, there's been lives changed for eternity just in these meetings. There have been people that have been touched by the power of God. There have been people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And God's doing tremendous things. So let's look at what God's doing and let's rejoice in that. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. What exciting times to live in. Hallelujah. So, as Karen mentioned, there's newsletters back there on the table. Help yourself to whatever's there. We don't necessarily need to take that with us. It's for your benefit. Amen? Glory to God. And so go with me to the book of Matthew, if you would, for a moment. The book of Matthew. The young lady that gave the little exhortation during praise and worship, it would have been just as well for her to preach my message. Amen, because that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, that again is an example of unity in the Spirit. I didn't consult with her what my message was. I didn't know that she was going to share that scripture. But see, the Holy Ghost knew what we need, and he's preparing people to receive the word. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, and I want to draw your attention to verse 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Notice verse 22 very carefully. And all things. How many things? Now, how many of you understand a little bit about the Greek and Hebrew languages? That's what the Bible was written in, was Greek and Hebrew. Now, in the Greek particular, because that's what the New Testament was written in, some words can have expanded meanings. Like, for instance, the word love. There's four different Greek words for love. Now, in the English language, we have one word for love. All right? Like, I love you, brother. Well, if I'm speaking in Greek, I better, identify what kind of love I'm talking about, because it may be inappropriate. All right? But see, we won't get into all the different kinds of love, but there's four different words for love. All means something different. Well, this word all is a very interesting word. And there was a minister that I know who had a friend that was an actual Bible scholar and did an in-depth study on that word all. And in his course of study, do you know what he finally determined the word all meant? All. Man, y'all are quick. Y'all are right on the ball this morning. It means all. And all things, without exception, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, if he'd have just said, ask in prayer, you shall receive, man, we'd have had it made, wouldn't we, brother? Oh, we would have had it made. Because, I mean, you just pray the prayer, and there it is. Presto, change-o, shazam, there it is. All right? But the scripture says, believing. See, there's the qualification to getting your prayers answered. It's not just the fact that you prayed. Because here's somebody, you know, they'll say, well, I've been praying about this for 40 years. But I guarantee if you've been praying for 40 years, you didn't pray once in faith believing. Because God's better than that. Now, that might step on somebody's toes, but we'll pray for toes to be healed later on. Amen? If you've been putting up with something year after year after year, this is your answer right here. It's not a matter of praying, it's a matter of believing. See, there's a lot of people that are praying, but they're not believing. Think about that for a minute. There's a lot of people that are praying, but are they praying believing? Because the Bible says it's believing prayer that gets the answer. You know, somebody wrote in the dust on the back of a big semi-truck, prayer changes things. I beg to differ. Prayer in and of itself hasn't changed anything, but it's when you pray believing, then you're going to get answers. Amen? Can you see that? Can you see that? And so everywhere in the scripture where you see people getting results, it's because they believed, not just because they prayed. Amen? You know, there's some people, now it's okay to pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, if that's all you know about prayer, that's one thing. But when we grow and when we develop in the Word of God, you can't pray nursery rhyme prayers. You have to pray in line with the Word and believe God's Word, and then you get results. Amen. See, some things will work because you're a baby. But as you mature and as you grow, God expects you to walk in the light of God's Word here. Amen. Now, there was a couple when I was pastoring that... Man, they had miserable trouble, particularly financially. And finally, he got the opportunity to get a really good job, but it was dependent on him having reliable transportation to get to and from work. And just like a day before he's supposed to go to work, a tree falls and totals their car. And I mean, they come into the church and they are upset, they're panicked, they're full of worry. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And so I talked with them a little bit, just tried to encourage them the best that I could, but they're just baby Christians. I mean bona fide, legitimate baby Christians. There's some people that they're babies and they shouldn't be babies. Amen. Every pastor has come across that. There's some people who have been saved for 30 years and they're still babies. Spiritually. But they were bona fide, legitimate babies. They don't have been saved, serving the Lord, come to church for just a very short time. So I'm driving through town, and I said, Lord, I lift this couple up to you, and they're legitimate, real babies. And they're not to the place yet where they can believe for themselves. They're just now learning some of these principles. So I said, I want to carry them with my faith, and I ask you to give them a car. Now, from their financial background, they wouldn't even qualify for, you know, a $50 credit at the grocery store, financially speaking. And so I prayed that simple prayer, get back to the church eventually, and I'm doing my work in the office, and they come back into the church. And this time they're lit up like a neon sign in the dark. And they're so excited. Pastor, you got to come see what we just got. They pulled me out and parked in front of the church. Was a brand new vehicle. Brand spanking new. They went down to the car lot and talked to the people, told them their situation, and they must have had great mercy on them, and they were able to get into a car and pay for it. Amen? And God blessed them, and God helped them. But they grew as a result of that. See, I was able to do that once for them, but now God expects them to step out in faith on their own. Right. Amen? Now, notice again what verse 22 says, and all things, how many things? I wonder if that includes your needs. I wonder if that includes your health. I wonder if that includes salvation. Sure it does. I wonder if that includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. The word shall is the most assertive word in the English language. It cannot be any other way. If you pray in line with the Word of God and you believe, there is no possible way that it could be other than what you've prayed and believed. Amen. Amen. That is confidence right there. That is boldness. Go with me, if you would, to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. I get anything so far today? 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. That's what I believe a lot of Christians need is confidence. Well, brother, I just don't know if God will heal me or not. I just don't know if it's His will or not. I just don't know if, you know, if God wants me to do this or do that. And they're wishy-washy their whole life. Amen? This, notice what Scripture says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. It says, if we ask anything according to His will. That right there is a key. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will. Oh, yes, if we just knew what His will was. You've got it right here on your lap. If you've got a book that says Holy Bible, then you've got His word in black and white, and that is His will. If you can find Scripture that promises you the thing that you desire, the thing that you need, the thing that you want, if you've got Scripture for it, then you know beyond any question, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that it is the will of God. Yeah. See, faith comes where the will of God is known. If we don't know what God's will is, we can't have faith for it. Amen. We don't have any confident expectation that this would happen if we don't know for a fact that it's God's will. Amen? This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God always, always, always hears His word. Amen? If you ever want to know for a surety that God's heard you, you pray in line with the word. Amen? Now verse 15 gets even better. And if we know that He hears us, well, how do we know that He hears us? Because we prayed according to His will, which is His word. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. Do you see how much confidence is in this verse? Yeah. Not wishy-washy, not maybe so, not hope so. We know. This is confident, no so faith. We know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, We know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So if you can get God to hear you, then you know you've got the petition, the prayer, the desire that you have asked of Him. You know you've got it if you can get Him to hear you. And the only way is to pray according to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? So if you've got Scripture that promises you the thing that you need, the thing that you desire, then you know He's heard you when you prayed. And if He's heard you, you've got it. Amen? Did you know that real faith in the Word of God acts like it's so? You know how I learned this? When I was about 8 years old. Now, I was not a Bible school graduate at that time. I was not a pastor. I was not a prophet. I was not anything. I was an 8-year-old snot-nosed kid that didn't know come here from Sikkim, as we say in Oklahoma. All right? I woke up one morning sick. As we say in Oklahoma, sick as a dog. I mean, I was nauseous, vomiting, just the whole picture of just being sick in bed. We grew up on a resort there in Michigan, very similar to what this is. We had 30 cabins and 1,000 feet of beach there on Big Manistique Lake. And the name of the resort was Birch Shores Resort. It's still there. Family still owns it. And so our family, my dad and my uncles, they worked on the resort. They had to be out on the grounds at 8 o'clock in the morning, tending to customers and tending to things there in the resort. And so just a little bit before 8, my dad comes in, sees that I'm sick. He lays hands on me and prays for me to be healed. Now, the Christmas before, I had asked for a tape player, for a Christmas present, all right? And so I ended up getting a tape player for Christmas. Now, I like to throw this in because I thought I would make a really good spy, all right? Not because I'm American, but I had this tape player. I used to love to record things. And remember back in the 70s, there was a little attachment you could get to your tape player. You could plug it in and stick it, suction cup, to the phone, and you could record the conversation on the phone. Well, I found out that you could stick that to the window. You know, I'd be outside, stick it to the window, I could record my parents' private conversations, you know. And that's, I'd make a good spy. And so, but anyways, he gives me a tape. Not a children's tape, not a music tape, not puppets and skits for kids. It was a grown-up tape on the subject of healing. And I put that in the tape player, and I press play, and I'm listening to it. Now, to me, I'm just a kid. I'm only 8 years old. All it was to me was noise in the room. But, you know, when you're sick in bed, you can't get up and do anything. There's nothing better to do, so I'm listening to this tape. Well, 45, 50 minutes went by and played the tape again. I'm listening to it a second time. All it is to me is noise. And so I played the tape a third time. Now it's getting on close to 11 o'clock in the morning. And as I was listening to this tape, something jumped off the tape to me. Now, looking back, I know what it was clearly. I didn't know what it was then, but it was revelation. Mm-hmm. It was the Holy Spirit revealing something to me, but I didn't know it then. And He said on the cassette tape, if you really believe that you're healed, you're going to act like you're healed. And I remember saying to myself, I never heard that before. This is the third time I've listened to it. He never said that before. It was so new to me. It literally leaped off the cassette tape and filled my whole room with light, just like a neon sign in the dark. If you really believe that you're healed, you're going to act like you're healed. And then a thought came to me. Well, people are not in bed at 11 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm careful I always say that because there's some people that are still in bed at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know. But if you work a night shift, you know, you might be in bed at that time. But as a general rule, well, people are not in bed at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I thought to myself, that's right. and my clothes were over there on the toy chest. And I thought, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get dressed. Now, I didn't feel any better. I grabbed the corner of my covers and I flung them off like that. You know, 8-year-old kid. And I slung my feet off the side of the bed and put them on the ground. And you know what happened? I felt sick. The room was spinning. All right? But if I really believe that I'm healed, and I thought to myself, yeah, my dad came in, he laid hands on me. And if I really believe that I'm healed, then I'm going to get up and get dressed. As I was getting dressed, putting my legs in my pants, every symptom left my body. As I was getting dressed, I went and grabbed my fishing pole. I grabbed a 5-gallon pail. I went down to the dock and I caught a 5-gallon pail full of yellow perch and had them for supper that night. Wow. Amen. 5-gallon pail full. I don't know what the regulations were. I was just a kid and I was catching one right after the next. Amen. I hope there's no conservation officers here. Amen. But notice here, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, you have to know what the will of God is, and then you can have confidence to act on it. Go with me to Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah 53. Give you a moment to find it. Isaiah 53. And let's discover what God's will is. Now, this morning, as we said last night, we're focusing primarily on the subject of healing. So if you're here today and you need healing, pay particular attention to the Word. But this will apply to whatever you need from the Lord. Finances, health, direction, wisdom, guidance, whatever it is that you need. Family issues. Verse 4, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Listen carefully to what the Word says here. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now that's King James. Other translations will say sicknesses and pains. Amen. Some of the more modern translations. Even the New King James will have a footnote in the New King James Study Bible that in the Hebrew means sicknesses and pains. Surely He hath carried our sicknesses and pains, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Talking about what Jesus did, you understand? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. I want to submit to you today that healing is in the atonement of Christ. When Jesus paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin, healing was a part of the package deal. It's as much God's will and God's desire for you to be healed as it is for you to be saved. Amen. It's part of the same package. It's been bought. It's been paid for. It's already yours. In the same way that you accept Jesus as your Savior, you can accept Him as your healer as well. Now, let me just ask you this. How long did it take you to get saved? Oh, Brother Greg, it took me 30 years before I finally got. That's not what I'm talking about. When you believed in your heart and confessed Jesus with your mouth, how long did it take you to get saved? Thank you. The moment that you prayed, the moment that you believed, you were saved. Did you say, brother, when you got saved, did you say, well, I'm waiting for the manifestation of my salvation. I believe in my heart, but I'm waiting to be saved. I'm waiting to be saved. Someday I'm going to be saved. If he'd have died believing that way, he'd have gone to hell. See, he received the moment that he believed. You don't have to wait for salvation. The things that God has provided for you, you don't have to wait on. Now, let me share this. There are some things that you will have to wait on. How many of you are familiar with the farming industry? There's a few people here that you're in the farming industry. And you're believing God for a good harvest. Well, that harvest doesn't come overnight, does it? But in the process of planting seed, rain, sunshine, warm weather, that harvest comes up. Your faith gives substance to that harvest in the process of time. Amen. See, in the planting of seed, there's a process involved. All right? And so that takes a little bit of time. But when something is a gift to you, you don't have to wait for it. You can receive right now. Amen. Like, for instance, it was mentioned in the announcements that it's Father's Day. And praise the Lord. You know, God bless all of you fathers. Now, there's a little gift that was provided for you. Now, we already know that that gift has been provided. You were told in advance where to go to get your gift, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's just point, we'll pick on him for a minute, for instance, all right? I don't even know if you're a dad or not, but just say this gift is provided. And he's thinking, well, I'm going to wait for the manifestation of that gift. He's already been told what to do about it. All he's got to do is receive it. All he's got to do is go back. He's been told where to go, how to get it, how to obtain it. And if he doesn't obtain it, whose fault is it? His fault. If a person does not receive the gifts from God that's already been provided, whose fault is it? It's not God's fault. Well, it must not have been God's will for that person to be healed. That's the dumbest thing you could ever say. Don't ever catch me or let me catch you saying stuff like that. Amen? Because it's not true. It is a violation of Scripture to say stuff like that. Amen? You know, when I was a kid, if I said something bad like that, my dad would come after me with a switch. He'd go out there and cut that switch in the bush, and I'm telling you, he'd come after me. I learned not to say foolish stuff like that. You see, Jesus, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, provided certain things for you. Amen? Amen? And it's up to you and I to be a partaker of what he has already provided. Amen? We're not trying to get God to provide for us. He's already provided for us. Amen? And so he's already done these things. It's by faith that we receive and partake and take hold of what he's already given to us. Now let's look at another scripture here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. When you find it, say amen. Amen. Y'all are fast. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 8. And notice with me, verse 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now, we just read what Isaiah just said, didn't we? The Bible says here, Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophetic word. See, in the Old Testament, when people were healed, it was based on what Jesus would do in the future. Amen? So Isaiah, in his prophecy, was looking ahead through the eons of time to when Jesus would come and would make the sacrifice of himself. They looked ahead and were healed on what he would do. In other words, they were healed on credit card. Amen? Now it says here that he might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our, what? Infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Jesus fulfilled that. Jesus did everything that was necessary for you and I to be healed totally, completely whole right now. Jesus has already done everything that he's going to do about your healing and my healing. Nothing further is required of heaven to get you healed. The entire situation now is in your hands and in my hands. Are we going to believe it? And are we going to receive it? Amen? I tell you what, that's good news. See, if Jesus bore my sicknesses and my infirmities, why do I have to bear them? What he bore, you and I need not bear. There's no sense both of us bearing it. If he bore it, then why am I bearing it? Why are you bearing it? Amen. Think about that. Let that sink in a little bit. Amen. Himself and no other bore your infirmities and sicknesses to fulfill the word that God gave in Isaiah. Plain and simple. Now let's look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. See, one of the best ways to be healed is to simply know what God's word says. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. See, faith comes where the will of God's known. We can have confidence the moment that we know God's will. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. I can quote it, but it's always good to look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Peter now is looking back to what Jesus did. Isaiah looked forward to what Jesus did. Peter looks back to what he did. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are going to someday get healed. Tell me, is that what it says? No. By whose stripes ye were healed. In the mind of God, you're healed right now. Let that sink in. Let that soak in. In the mind of God, you are healed right now. Because if we were healed, that means I was healed. And if I was healed, that means I is healed. Right now, right here, I am healed. Now, there are so many different means and ways that God put in the Word for people to be healed. Amen? Like, for instance, there was a pool of Bethesda. And the first person in, when the angel would come down and stir the water, they were totally healed. There were people that called for the elders of the church. They came and anointed them with oil in the name of the Lord, and they were healed. There were people that got handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul, and those handkerchiefs were laid upon sick people, and diseases departed out, and evil spirits left them through cloth. Jesus, at different times, he spit on a guy, touched his tongue with the spit, and stream of his tongue was loosed. He spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle, put the glob of clay in the guy's eye socket, and an eyeball was created. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that people were healed. There's a minister friend of mine, and his dad was part of the healing revival from 1947-1958, and saw tremendous things. But now this healing evangelist, he sometimes will spit on people. But everyone he's ever spit on has been instantly totally healed. Amen. This was really before I was in full-time. No, I was in full-time ministry when this happened. I was an associate pastor. He came to the church and went to pray for a lady that, I mean, she's only this tall, 90 pounds soaking wet. Very petite, attractive woman. And so he stood sideways to her and said, "Sister, what's the matter with you?" And she pointed, something was wrong in her mouth. And he said, "Close your eyes and open your mouth." Now, I knew, somehow, I just knew what was going to happen. And so I'm there catching. I step backwards and aside. Now he's a real deep, now I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but I mean, he's just a deep Southern character guy. He gathered up. And he spit out of the side of his mouth, and I watched it. Because I stepped aside and back. it arced like this and went right into her mouth. She had her eyes closed and her mouth wide open. Now, you'd have thought that she got hit with a 10-ton wrecking ball right in the middle of her gut. Now, we had chairs at the time similar to this, but they were all metal folding chairs. When she got hit by the power of God, she took out, like a bowling ball and pins, three rows of metal folding chairs. I mean, they went flying when she went through there. Amen? She was out cold for 45 minutes. When she came to eventually, after 45 minutes, she had no knowledge that he spit on her. I mean, that would gross you out, you know, just thinking about it. But she was totally, completely healed of what was wrong inside her mouth. Amen? Amen? But Jesus did that. Now, I've only done that one time in my entire life. Amen? There was a lady in a service out in New Brunswick that she had ringing in her ears, and she come for healing. And I mean, the Lord told me, and then he told me again. And he kept telling me, you need to spit on your finger and stick it in her ear. Now, I'd never done that before. And I'm not expecting to do that anytime soon, just so that you know. Amen. But the Lord said to do it. And he knew I was a little hesitant, and so he kept telling me over and over and over and over and over and over again to spit on my finger. I spit on my finger. I stuck my fingers in her ears. And I mean, she just went flying. She was seeking medical attention for that ringing that was in her ears. But you know what? When God tells you to do something a certain way, then you do it. Amen? Jesus himself took your sicknesses and my sicknesses. He took your diseases. He took my diseases. Amen? It's up to you and I to receive. Why do you put so many different means in the scriptures to obtain healing? Because you're bound to be able to relate to one of them. God so desires you to be healed, he put many, many different means to obtain it in the scripture. You're bound to latch onto one of them. Now, I'll tell you what, the primary way that God uses me is with the healing anointing. Amen. I didn't ask for it, didn't pray for it, didn't seek it, didn't fast for it. He just dumped it on my lap. Amen. And with that anointing, it's burden removing, yoke destroying power that removes sickness and disease from a person's body. It'll drive it out. But it's up to you to believe it. All things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you don't believe it, you don't receive it. Amen? But if you believe in that anointing will flow into you. And it will drive out sickness and disease. Plain and simple. See, primarily, you have to minister how God's anointed you. See, I can't minister the way that God's anointed pastor can. I can't minister that way. I can only minister the way that God has equipped me. See, he's got certain tools and equipment that are unique to him and to the ministry that God's called him to. All right? And both of you as pastors. But I have to minister the way God's anointed me. And primarily, that's with the healing anointing. That anointing will not work unless people believe it. Amen? Go with me to another verse of scripture here. You remember Jesus. Now, go with me to Acts 14. Remember Jesus and two blind men followed him? Finally, he goes into the house and the blind men come to him. And he asks them, believe ye that I'm able to do this. Do you remember him saying that in scripture? Believe ye that I'm able to do this. I mean, if he's Jesus, Son of God, why would he have to ask, do you believe I'm able to do this? Because faith always gives action to the power. Even Jesus couldn't force somebody to be healed. They had to believe it. In his own hometown. I mean, if anywhere you want to do good, you want to do good in your own hometown, right? You want to do good where people know you. and grew up with you, but he said he could there do no mighty work in Mark chapter 6. Savior laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. He marveled because of their unbelief. Unbelief stopped Jesus in his tracks, and unbelief stops him today. Well, I've just had this for 40 years. I think I'm always going to have it. Well, you might as well just die with it. I don't say that to be cruel and harsh, but that's where people are at. Amen? Because that's where your faith is at. Well, I've just suffered with this for so long, I guess we're just going to have to put up with it for the rest of our lives. You don't have to. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. There is healing available. I am telling you right now that it is already yours. Whether you've had it or not, whether you've received it or not, the healing is already yours. All you got to do is take it. That's all you have to do. Well, yeah, but I've had it for so long. It doesn't matter. Today, you are hearing revelation knowledge from the Word of God that healing already belongs to you. Amen. Notice here, now how many of you would say that the Apostle Paul was anointed of God? I mean, if you don't think the Apostle Paul was anointed, read the New Testament. He wrote over half of it. Amen. He is anointed. Chapter 14, verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. Everybody said the gospel. All right. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent, powerless in his feet. So he was crippled. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Actual guy, not a parable, not just a story. An actual guy at an actual town that was actually crippled in his feet. And he had never even learned how to walk ever. The same, that is this cripple guy, heard Paul speak. Now who remembers what Romans 10:17 says? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The same heard Paul speak. Hearing and faith go together. Amen. If people teach from the pulpit, well, God used to do that kind of stuff, then your faith will be, God used to do that kind of stuff. Well, the day of miracles is passed away now, then your faith will be, miracles have passed away now. Because faith and hearing equal the same. Amen? But Paul preached the gospel. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He had faith to be healed because of what he heard. Today you have heard Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, 1 Peter 2, 24. That is all the will of God. It all proves beyond any shadow of a doubt it is God's will to heal. It's already been provided. It's already yours. All you got to do is believe it. Amen? This man heard the gospel, which included salvation, which included healing, the same word that we preached here this morning, and it says he had faith to be healed. Amen? How does faith for salvation come? By hearing the gospel. How does faith for the baptism of the Holy Spirit come? By hearing the word of God. How does faith for healing come? By knowing what his will is. How many of you know that it's God's will to heal you? How many of you know it's God's will for you to be healed right now? Amen? Not down the road. Not 10 years from now. Right now. Just as much as it's God's will for you to be saved, it's God's will for you to be healed. And how long did it take you to get saved? The moment you believe. How long does it take to get healed? The moment you believe. Do you believe that? Amen? It's the truth. Who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. He had never even learned. What if he would have said, well, Paul, I hear what you're saying, and I believe it, but I've never even had a walking lesson. Well, see, that's not faith, is it? It's doubt. Anything that separates you from receiving now is doubt. Anything, let me say it again, anything that separates you from your miracle, anything that separates you from receiving right now is doubt. And doubt is a thief to the blessings of God. Amen. So what do? If you have doubt, you choose to believe the Word of God and you step out in faith and you act on it. Faith is acting like God's Word is true. If you really believe that you receive, you can act on it. Here's a gentleman that was totally paralyzed, and he's going to endeavor to believe God for his healing. But what action can he take? Well, one, he can confess that I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. I am healed in Jesus' name. And with all of his concentration, he concentrated on moving that big toe. He can't tell whether it's moving or not. He's paralyzed. But with all of his focus, with all of his concentration, he's focused on moving that big toe. Until finally, it twitched. And he held fast his confession. He held fast to acting in faith, and he kept twitching that big toe. Until finally, he's got some movement now in that big toe. He's moving all around. And then, as he's holding fast to his confession, he can twinkle his toes. He's moving his toes. Moving his toes. And that freedom of movement spread to his ankle, up his leg, to his knee, up into his hip, until finally it spread through his entire body and he was totally free in his body of that paralysis. But it started with focusing and concentrating on the action of that big toe. Amen? See, there was a number of years ago that I had severe problems with my wisdom teeth. Has anybody here ever had problems with your wisdom teeth? It's painful, isn't it? You eat the wrong thing. Now, with me, I love popcorn. And I would sit and watch the news in the evening and have a bag of popcorn. That was my thing, all right? And so, but I'd eat those popcorn kernels. They get back there and that gum and between the wisdom tooth, and it would get impacted and swollen and pain. It was miserable. Now, there was a family member, they had theirs cut out. And I mean, they were like a chipmunk, stuffed their cheeks with gauze, and they were drooling, and it was nasty. And call me a chicken or whatever, I did not want to have to go through that. And so we had made arrangements for a couple to come speak at our church when I was pastoring, and I knew she had a tremendous healing ministry. And so months before they came, I began to say to myself, when Jerry Horton gets here, I'm going to have her lay hands upon me, and I'm going to be healed. When Jerry Horton gets here, I'm going to have her lay hands on me, and I'm going to be healed. I said that for months before they ever got there. She ministered on a Wednesday night. I didn't even listen to a word she said during the sermon. I said constantly to myself, when she lays hands upon me, I will be healed. When she lays hands on me, I'll be healed. And it was a very warm summer day. And I mean, people were sweating, fans were blaring. But when she made that invitation for people to come forward for prayer, I mean, here I am. I'm the pastor. I jumped up first one in line before anybody else. Now, when this was all said and done, people came to me later and said, oh, Brother Greg, when she laid hands on me, it was like a hot wind just blew right on me. Another person said, I felt a warm glow go all over me. And another person said, I felt just chills go right up my spine when she laid hands and I was healed. Some people fell on the floor and she got to me. And you want to know what I felt when she laid hands on me? All I felt was her cold, bony hand on my hot forehead. There was no hot flash, no cold chills, no goosebumps. Not even a warm wind. It was just nothing. It was a big zilch. I felt nothing. But when she laid her hands upon me, this is what I said quietly to myself. Father, I believe that when Jerry Horton laid hands on me, your power went into my body to bring about a complete healing and total cure. I am healed. I went home after that service saying that quietly to myself. I woke up in the middle of the night, turned over in bed. I said it to myself in my sleep. When Jerry Horton laid hands upon me, God, I believe your power went into my body to bring about a complete healing and total cure. What I'm sharing with you now will save your life, whether you realize it or not. That whole second day, I went through that whole day saying it. When Jerry Horton laid her hands upon me, I believe your power went into my body to bring about complete healing and total care. Now, if you were to feel those glands, they were still swollen. If I was to try to open my mouth, I couldn't open my mouth all the way. It was still in pain, and the second day was even worse pain. Well, I thought you were healed. See, I'm by my faith, I'm giving substance to what I believe in my heart. That's what confession is all about. Confession, like the young lady read from Isaiah, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. How many here are builders? You can build stuff. A couple people. Does one nail and one 2x4 make a house? No. You keep adding to it. You keep adding to it. With the mouth, confession is made unto, just like a builder is building that house. You keep adding different parts to it. And so when I'm holding fast my confession, I am building something with my words. And so I'm holding fast my confession. Thank you, Jesus. When she laid hands upon me, I believe your power went into me to bring about a complete healing and total cure. That third day now, 3 days later, I'm holding fast to my confession. I've still got pain. That gland's still swollen. But sometime in the afternoon of the third day, I went to make my confession and suddenly realized I had just opened my mouth all the way. There was no hot flash, cold chills, no angelic choir singing hallelujah. It was just gone. Amen? And I realized that the pain was gone. This gland was not swollen anymore. And I was healed. Now, 2 weeks went by, and I felt that gland under here begin to tinge after I ate something. I slapped my hand up there. I said, no, you don't. 2 weeks ago, when Jerry Horton laid her hands upon me, God's power went in my body to make a complete healing and total cure. It instantly left. A month went by, and I had grabbed a handful of popcorn, and I ate it. And I could feel that, you know, getting impacted back in there. And that gland just began to tinge just a little bit. And so I slapped my hand up there. I said, no, you don't. 1 month ago, Jerry Horton laid her hands upon me. God's power went in my body to bring about a complete healing and total cure. And it instantly left. 1 year went by. And it began to tinge a little bit. And I could feel that pain just begin to start. I slapped my hand up there. I said, no, you don't. Because 1 year ago, Jerry Horton laid her hands upon me. God's power went into my body to bring about a complete healing and total cure. And I was healed. And it left. And now about 18 years have come and gone. It never, ever, ever bothers me again. Amen. And if it were to, you know what I would do? I'd slap my hand up there. I would say, 18 years ago, Jerry Horton laid her hands upon me. God's power went into my body to bring about a complete healing and total cure. And it would have to go. Because there's no expiry date to the anointing of God. Amen. Amen. So how many of you are here this morning and you are ready to receive the anointing? You are ready to receive your healing this morning. I want you to make your way down here to the front. If you're ready to receive... Amen.